say this together. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare and we declare that as we hear your word, we see Christ as he sees us in himself. He is glorified. We are edified. There's no error in this atmosphere. As we hear your word, clarity comes to our mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, we are discussing week 10 of what? Believers' conduct. Week 10. We're rounding up.
Hallelujah. Someone will say, finally, you will put it to the end. But it's not to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, number 1 Timothy chapter 3.
1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy.
Okay. 1 Timothy 3. Verses 14 into 16. Into 15. Say, these things I write to you. Though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. He calls it the pillar and the ground of truth. Hallelujah. The pillar and the ground of truth. So, let's just quickly do a little recap of what we have been saying. We have to recap all of what we say in two sessions. Hallelujah. So just do a little recap. Okay, we said we've established the truth, that the fact that there is such a thing as believer's conduct. We said that, right? And that this believer's conduct should be the conduct of every believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we also said that this conduct is breathed out from the reality of our new birth. We said that, right? This conduct is breathed out from the reality of our new birth. Who we are in Christ. What Christ has done for us in the redemption. Hallelujah. So, this believer's conduct is breathed out from this reality. Hallelujah. And we said, we are his church. We said we are his church. And we said we are his church because of the indwelling of the Spirit. Right? We are the church of Christ because of the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I will see that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things which have commanded you. He said, lo, I am. In you. No, we did that construction in this series, Believer's Conduct, right? We did that when we said, when he said, lo, I am with you. Well, what he's talking about is, I am in you. We did that in this teaching, Believer's Conduct, and also in the teaching, the new birth and the leading of the Spirit. We did that also. Hallelujah. That's 7 tracks. So, we say that in every of the section, and we're saying it again. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I am with you is actually, Lord, I am in you. That is the indwelling of the Spirit. Glory to God. In John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphaned. Say, I will come to you. Then in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. Say, in that day you know that John 14, verse 23. Hallelujah. You will know in that day. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So we said, we also saw that when we hear the church, We have said that that because of the indwelling of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God has found a permanent location in the man in Christ. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word the church, we don't look out for a building. We don't look out for bricks. Hallelujah. God does not dwell in building made with hands. Glory to God. I said I would say that in every of the tracks, right? And I'm saying it. Okay. Hallelujah. So we said we are his church. We are the church of Christ. And he is the head of the church. Hallelujah. Because that is his church. Look at Matthew chapter 16 quickly. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 verse 16. He asked Peter, who do you say that I am? He asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Meaning experience did not reveal this to you. It was not revealed to you by sense, by human experience. Hallelujah. But by Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And I said to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. Glory to God. So he said, on this rock, I will build my church. We said that word rock refers to what? On these truths of himself being the Christ. On this truth, he is the rock. Hallelujah. Upon the revelation of himself. Hallelujah. That is the truth. That is the rock. Hallelujah. So the church is not founded on anybody, but on himself. Do you understand me? The church is founded on the truth of himself being the Christ. Hallelujah. So he said, on this rock I would build my church. Said the gate of hell. Now, let me say this again. The gate of hell shall not prevail. It is not an ongoing process. It is not a present tense or a present future tense. No. Hallelujah. The tenses are like these because Jesus had not yet died and resurrected. Hallelujah. So you say the gate of hell will not. Hallelujah. Amen. But upon his resurrection, it is now the gate of hell did not prevail. Did you get that? So it's not something that is ongoing. It's something that has happened. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? So don't subscribe to those or to anyone who says, let us pray that the gate of hell will not prevail. No. When he talks about the gate of hell, it's referring to his death. That the place of the dead will not hold the church from being established. Hallelujah. So at his resurrection, the church was born. Hallelujah. Did you get that? At his resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Very important. So, when he says the gate of hell, he means death cannot stop him from establishing it. So the building of the church is in the past participle, not present continuous. It's in the past. It has happened. So don't subscribe to those who call themselves they are the ministry of prayer. There's no such a thing. That is where the error starts. There's not such a thing like a ministry of prayer. I've been calling it a prayer ministry. There's no such a thing. Every believer is being called to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand? Every believer. Let us pray. And the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. And that's when you begin to have funny visions. And I was just inside the church and I saw the gate of hell. They were marching. They were running to enter the church gates. You see your problem. Your problem is your information. You understand? Your problem is your information. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because your vision cannot go beyond your knowledge. Your vision is always in the orbit of your knowledge. You understand? Your visions about Christ will be in tangent to your knowledge about him. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When you always think there will be a Godzilla that will come and scatter all the bridge in the world on the last day. So you keep having that dream of Godzilla. That one person will come with seven heads and will destroy all the bridge. So you keep having that kind of dreams because your visions will be in tangent to what? Your knowledge about Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some people say they went to heaven, whereas just their backyard, that they were seeing. Say, I was in heaven and rain was falling in heaven. The sun was beating hard in heaven. Do you understand? It's because of your knowledge. When you've heard that the way your heaven will be how you live your life on earth, you would dream that you went to heaven and there was no roof over your head. Do you understand? Glory to God. So your knowledge is important. As a believer, your knowledge is important. So don't subscribe to those who tell you, let's pray against the forces of hell that is fighting the church. Say, don't you know? Don't I know? When ignorance wants to interpret scripture, they interpret it like as though they were not even saved. They will not say, you know, the Bible says from the day of John the Baptist up to now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I don't understand. Well, we'll look at that before the month of August runs out. It's part of what is, we'll actually look at that word. Hallelujah. We'll look at that phrase from the days of John the Baptist up until now. We'll look at it critical. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's part of the teaching that we have. Hallelujah. We'll look at it too. Glory to God. So that you don't get into those fix with people. Remember, we said something yesterday. We said, any verse that you've not read in context, do not quote it. Do you understand? But I've read it in context first, before you quote. Do you understand? And I'm saying it for those of us who are good in memory verse. When you say memory verse, and you forget your memory. Hallelujah. So let's continue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is his church, and the church has been built. Now we say he is the head of the church. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians 1, quickly. Verse 22. He said, he has put all things under his feet and has given him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now he calls the church his body. He is the head of the church, and the church is his body. Look at chapter 5 quickly. Chapter 5, verse 20. Verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 23. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Look at verse 25. Verse 30. He says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Did you see that? We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So he is the head of the church. Hallelujah. And we are members of his body. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, him being the head, remember, we've just established the fact that the church is not a building. You see, you must buy it, you must take that out of your mind. The church is not you must consciously take it out of your mind. The church is not a building. So, whenever you hear me call church and you have a building in your mind, you're not far from those in numbers. Hallelujah. Sclerocardia. So take it out of your mind. So when you hear me call church, I'm talking about the saints. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So being the head of the church, he models for us what believers' conduct will be. And we'll find that in his words and in his conduct. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And yesterday, during our teaching meeting, during School of the Word, we said, Jesus left his earthly work and all that he did in the hands of the apostles to explain. Do you understand me? So this conduct will find the apostles explaining to us. Do you get that? We'll find it explained in the epistles. This believer's conduct will be explained to us by the apostles in the epistles, because the epistles are explanations. See, listen, the epistles explain, listen to this, the epistles explain the Old Testament and the four Gospels. Do you understand that? So when you read in the four Gospels, you must read it also in the light of the epistles. Let me give us this for a nugget. Let us give us this so that we'll get this. The Old Testament, the four Gospels explains the Old Testament. Listen, an event in the Old Testament can be explained, from the four Gospels can be explained in the Old Testament. Did you get this? So the four Gospels explains the Old Testament. Events, there are some events in the four Gospels that you find explanation in the Old Testament. Listen. Now, the Old Testament is explained by the epistles. The epistles are explanations of the Old Testament and explanations of the four Gospels. Did you get that? So, when you look at the Bible, how many books? 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament, right? Four Gospels, that's 42, right? Yes. No, 43. How many do we have in the epistles? That should be around minus Revelation. We have 20. That should be 21. Now, 21 books is explaining 43. What does that tell you? The lesser has more. Just like in Revelation, the lesser has more. So, all those books are explained by the epistles. And that is the work of the apostles, the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. That is the work of the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. They explain, that is their role. They explain the scriptures to us. And we saw what our role is. Our role is to do what? Is to read. Anaginosko. To read thoroughly. And explain the Old Testament in the light of what has been explained to us. So in doing that, listen, a very, very intelligent Bible student would be quiet when the epistles are quiet. A very good Bible student will be silent when the epistles are silent. When the epistles are loud, you will be loud. When they are not loud, you will not be loud then. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Because we are building on what they have taught us. And the building we are building is not, we are not having our own different revelation. Remember we said, the written word is the, you do not say, the Spirit should show you what the word is saying. No. That is the betting of errors. When people want to run away from proper biblical interpretations and run into errors, they will start telling you, that is my own view. That is what the Spirit of God showed you. No. No. The written word shows you or tells you what the Spirit is saying. We said this during the leading of the Spirit. The written word tells you what the Spirit is saying. So you know the heartbeat of, you know what the Spirit is saying from the written word. So it tells you the leading of the Spirit. It shows you what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing me? So you can be a believer. You can be a child of God. You can be a disciple. We said this yesterday also. And not appreciate scriptures. Not appreciate scriptural readings. You must do that. You must recognize it. Hallelujah. You must take it serious. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So how did we get there? He's the head of the church. And more, that's for us what the church will be found doing in conduct. And that's what the epistles will write to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thus far, we've looked at believers' conduct in prayer, right? In prayer. We looked at believers' conduct in the love work. We looked at believers' conduct in honor. Is there another one? Just these three. Service too. Okay, yes, service. In the other, not in the life. Okay, yeah? Believers' conduct in service. For 10 minutes. and many more. Glory to God. Let's look at Luke chapter 4 quickly before we proceed. Luke 4. Luke 4 verses 20. And he closed the book. Jesus was done reading Isaiah chapter number 49. Now, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Hallelujah. The scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let's go ahead. So all bore witness to him and marveled at his gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now we read this last week. Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not the carpenter? Is this not this guy that didn't go to school? They knew his CV, right? This honor setting. Hallelujah. Watch it when this honor setting. You begin to ask unnecessary questions. I hear you. You don't ask unnecessary questions. Let me mama here picking me this. That is dishonor. Just know that dishonor is about to set in. Don't be that guy where they go grand pepper there. Where they grand kunu. Dishonor is about to set in. Just watch those strength. That's how you know. That's when the dishonor is about to set in. Let's move ahead. Don't want us to spend any much time today. Okay. And he said to them, verse 23, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your own country. That's what they will say. And he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. No prophet is accepted in his own country. Okay. He says, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows. Now, he's about to teach them honor. Do you understand it? You know, he's actually addressing their honor issue. Now he now said, I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. But no one of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And all those who in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Did you see that? Offense. They took offense. Why would they take offense? Dishonor. Watch it when you become familiar. You see, let me tell you something. I said this last week, and I want to say it again. When you become familiar with the minister of the gospel, if your familiarity with the minister of the gospel reduces how you see them, how you honor them, irrespective of who they are to you, they are your brothers, your husband, your wife, your brother. Anything, your child. You see, very important. Even to your children. Say, I just a small child, you must honor him. Because you must see your child first as a brother in the Lord. Because he is born again. Do you understand that? Even to your little cousin that is a Christian, you must see that one first as a believer. And you must honor that one. Do you understand? Do you get that? So do not say, is it not my child? Mm-hmm. You don't say, he's not my brother. We used to bath together. Look at your life. When familiarity reduces how you see a minister of God, it shows you are an immature believer. You are immature. Remember last week I said it exposes your immaturity. Do you understand? It exposes your immaturity. You must be able to handle relationship with ministers when you are close. So you now tell yourself, this is what I must not be found doing. You do a honor check all the time. Do you understand? You do a honor check. How do you see ministers when you become close to them? Like I was saying, when you began to play PS with him, that human of God.
Or maybe he slept in your house and he's now snoring. Say, the man of God is snoring. You see your life.
Glory to God. So, very important, as mild as these things are, they are very important. You must learn to honor believers. You learn to honor believers. You honor the meetings. Make sure you don't get into strikes with believers before a meeting. You see, the way you honor a believer's gathering will show how you get prepared for it. Do you understand? It will be reflected in your words. It will show how when you will come for the meeting. You cannot be straight to a believer's meeting and say you honor the meeting. Do you understand? It will show. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You're coming to a believer's meeting and you're not coming with the Bible. Let's judge ourselves now. Do you understand? You're not coming with the Bible. Are you going? I don't understand. Maybe you had Quran inside your pocket. I don't know. And you're coming to a believer's meeting. Yes, now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Chinebi is the first responder.
Glory to God.
So you don't allow, I wrote something, I said you do not allow familiarity rob you of receiving from a minister or from a believer's meeting. You know, in few weeks time, we'll be having a CRC, it's a believer's meeting. You don't allow familiarity rob you of it. No. The man of God likes bread. He likes our daily bread, you know. You're now stroking. You know, some people get to that point. You begin to stroke your man of God. And the next thing, you begin to lose value. Be careful. Be careful of what you say concerning your pastor when he's not there, when he's there. Do you understand? Be careful. He is your pastor. You must understand that he is your pastor. Not pastor, your pastor, your man of God, your emoji. Your emoji. G with capital letter. Your emoji. Your pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you treat him. Because the way you treat your ministers of God, or everything, or the way you treat a minister of God and every believer is the way you treat God. You understand me? Because they house God. The Spirit of God dwells in them. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Quickly, let's go back there. 1 Timothy 3, 14. It says, and these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. You know, when Paul is writing, remember I said when Paul is teaching, what would they have? Like I'm teaching now, what would they have? You have your Bible, right? The complete 66 book. What would they have? The Old Testament, right? You'll have the Old Testament with them. Now, I believe that when Paul was writing it, there's an undertow to what he was writing. Do you understand? The undertow to what Paul was writing on here, what we have in the background, remember we spoke about background, would be Psalms 29 verse 9. Let's look at Psalm 29 verse 9. Psalm 29 verse 9. Very similar. Are you there? Especially the big part, but we'll take everything together. The big part. Are you there? The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and stripes the forest bare. Look at the second part, which is the B part. Say, and in his temple, everyone says glory. And in his temple, everyone says glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very important. I believe this was the undertone that Paul wrote from. In his temple, everyone says glory. And you know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. He said, the pillar and the ground of truth. Everyone says glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just look at that.
What is the temple?
We've looked at this earlier on today and in every track of this series, right? Let's look at that word. What is the temple? What is his temple? Say, and in his temple. In John chapter 2, quickly, John chapter 2. Going over it again. In John chapter 2, so for those who were not here when the series started 9 weeks ago, John chapter 2, verses 14, he says, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. They were doing business. Hallelujah.
Psalm 29.
Wow. Mistake. John chapter 2, right? Okay. Now they were doing business. Verse 15. And he made a whip of cord and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured the changers' money and overturned the table. Straightforward. Overturned the table. Verse 16. And he said to those who sold those, take this away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Remember I told you what Jesus did is, you know, he always used events to point to the event, right? We'll look at that from next 2 weeks, where we'll discuss the glory that excels. Now, he always used event to point to the event. Now, he is not saying the temple is that bricks. We're going to look at that shortly. But he did that to show them something. Do you understand me? He did that. So he would do things physically so as to express the event. Who else would do something like that? Who? Moses, right? Moses will hit the rock for water to come out, to, and Paul will show us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that the rock is Christ. And what is the water? The water of Christ is the Spirit, right? Hallelujah. So, what Moses did to them was to show them that water will come out of the rock. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And what are they going to do with the water? They will drink the water in. So tell them, what was Moses teaching them? The indwelling of the Spirit, right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. So Moses will also use physical events to point to Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? So now Jesus too did something, and he's doing it to point to a greater event. Let's read on, you will see. And his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house has eaten me up, has consumed me. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And he answered and said to them, destroy this temple. He didn't say he would destroy you. He said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Did you see that? Let's go ahead. And the Jews said, he has taken for the day. They began to narrate all their useless talk. That's 21. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Did you see that? So meaning when he was doing that thing and he said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. If you think he's talking about selling kunu inside a church building, you are wrong. Did you see that? If you think he's talking about selling kunu inside a building, you are wrong. Did you see that? You know, in the early 2000s, there were some set of people that came out and they were fighting those guys, saying, how will you be selling books in the church? Jesus Christ said, do not make my father's house. Glory to God. I had someone come to my mom's place, radical brother, was telling my mom, how can they be selling kunu in church? Glory to God. Can you see? Because if the person, that is what you call verse lifting, that person has lifted the verse out of context. If the person could just have little patience and read down to verse 21, he was referring to his body. Did you see that? Did you see that? Just the same as some people say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water out of your belly. Bro, how is your belly?
We would have the same vision of that our belly was big.
Just have little patience. Read the next verse. This is spoke of what? Whose belly is he referring to? His own.
Not your own.
Did you see that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, little patience reading content. As I said, do not quote, never be found quoting any scripture that you have not read in context. Don't quote it. Don't say it as a memory verse. You make sure you already know it in context. Tell us that. Tell us what you're say, a hair, as long as it's a child. Do you know what it means? You probably know what it's like. Go and read it in context. You describe as well when you're talking about believers, or talking about the Israelites. So that's how you must read in context. Do you understand? Did you get that? Very important. Very important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So he uses the word temple in verses 21 and in verse 19. So do not destroy this temple in verse 19. That word temple, Jesus uses the word naos, N-A-O-S, in the Greek. It refers to the holiest of all, where the Jews believe where God dwells. Do you understand me? The holiest of all. Now he said, that's what it refers to as the temple. And he said, that temple is the temple of his body. Meaning, at the incarnation, Jesus is God's dwelling place. Do you understand me? So, did you get that? At the incarnation, he is God's dwelling place. Look at John chapter 14. John will now write again in chapter 14, verse 2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you were not, I would not have told you, I go prepare a place for you. When he said, I go prepare a place for you, he's referring to what? In himself, right? We'll look at that shortly. Look at verses 9. And you said to them, have I been with you long and yet you don't know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you still show me the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Glory to God. In John chapter 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word is God. Hallelujah. I will write it like this. In beginning was the Word. The Word points to God, right? And God was the Word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God took on flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God, Jesus is God in man. This is God who became man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Leave that place. Come and sit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, listen to this. And Jesus is God indwelling man. Or God in man. So, quickly, what Jesus was talking about, Jesus is showing, listen, Jesus is showing that the temple is, the physical temple is not God's house. Was never God's house. Remember, the writer of Hebrews showed us that while the first tabernacle yet was standing, he said, the Spirit expressly declared, right? That was not the way to the holiest of all. Stephen will say, the Lord dwelleth not in tent made with hands. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the physical temple was never God's building. Look at John chapter 14 again. Look at verse 20. Jesus is now speaking about the new birth. Look at verse 20. He says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In that day. What day is he talking about? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? No. Talking about in that day. The day of the new birth. The day of his resurrection. The day when a man gets born again. Hallelujah. He said, in that day, you will know.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Jesus is speaking about the new birth. He's speaking about what will happen in the new birth. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 23. He says, and Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come and make our home in him, our abode, a dwelling, permanent dwelling place in him. Meaning, in the new birth, remember he said, in that day. He uses the same word in the wedding in Cana. He said, when the mother came to meet him, and said, he said, woman, my hour has not come. When he talked about my hour, or my time, it's the same thing with my day or that day. He's not talking about the time for miracle has not come. No! He's talking about the new birth. Because the woman, the wine was finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was no wine. There was no wine. And that was the reality of humanity without God. Hallelujah. This was the reality. So, you know, Jesus, I showed us that the way Jesus responds to questions, he will respond with biblical terms. They came to a meeting, and for what reason should a man put away his wife? He told them, say, from the beginning it was not so. Now, they were talking about physical marriage, he was talking about the marriage, and he quoted from Genesis. Did you see that? So, did you see? So, he will use Bible vocabulary. Hallelujah. He asked the woman that was drawing well, water from well. The woman was talking about physical water. He was talking about his water. Do you know what I mean? Talking about his water, the water of Christ, which is the Spirit. So, Jesus will use his vocabularies. And when yet, in that day, my hour, he's talking about the hour of his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, in that day, verse 23, say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. What is this? Is this faith in God? Faith in God. Hallelujah. This is faith in God. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That is faith in God. John, you should have read John 14, 1. Right? Yes. Believe in God and believe in me also. Hallelujah. Now, you know, say, if you love me, you will keep my word. And my Father will love me and will come and make our home in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, simple. When a man believes, what Jesus is saying, when a man believes, he becomes the Father's temple, he becomes God's dwelling place. When a man believes. Did you get that? So, when a man believes, remember, at the incarnation, he is the temple of God. Now, he now speaks of the new birth. And so, when a man believes, that man becomes God's permanent dwelling place too. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So at the resurrection, the Spirit of God will dwell in the man who believes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this makes the man who believes the temple of God. The temple of God. Did you see what Jesus explained in John chapter 14, 15 and 16 is what Paul will now write on in what? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Say, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the living God? Hallelujah. Look at John. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. He says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Don't you know? Why? Where will he be writing from? Where will he be explaining what Jesus has explained? Did you see that? Look at chapter 3, verse 16. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Where did he get that from? John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another alias paracletos, that he will dwell with you. He said, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Paul is explaining it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16. He says, and what agreement as the temple of God with idols? He's referring to the believers. You read from verse 14. He said, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? He now says in verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God? He calls the man in Christ the temple of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are the temple of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are the temple of God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I remember we said something earlier that we are his church because of the indwelling. We did not become the, listen, we did not become the church, then the indwelling. No. We are called church because of the indwelling. Hallelujah. Because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And how, listen. So, when you hear the word the church, ecclesia, which is the called out ones, listen, the called out ones, we said we are called out of darkness, Colossians 1:13, right? He said he has delivered us out of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his son. Now, how did he call us out of darkness? By his spirit in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We didn't do any journey like, let's walk. No. By his spirit in us. You remember in verse 12b, he says, in the light. Right? We are partakers of the saints. We are partakers with the saints. Now he now says, in the light. Remember, I told her that is if we are to do a chapterization and versation, permit that word. We would start verse 13 from in the light, right? In the light, he has delivered us out of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you're in the light, is what? The spirit in our heart. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? The Spirit of God is that translation. The Spirit of God. We'll look at that as we continue our study on eternal damnation and eternal life on Saturday. Now, but on eternity, right? Hallelujah. As we continue, we'll see that the Spirit of God in the believer, the Spirit of God in the believer is that escape from perishing. This is that escape from perishing. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, after we are done with that message on eternity, you will stand up to minister the gospel. Hallelujah. We will stand up to take over Zamfara for Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There will be a burning desire to win souls. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
there will be a burning desire to win souls. I'm telling you all the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because every sermon must stir you to do the work of the master. And I'm telling you, it will be stirred to win souls. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he called us out of darkness by his spirit in us. So we are the church because we are his temple. Right? Back to Psalms chapter 29. Quickly, Psalm 29, verse 9b. It says, in his temple, everyone says glory. In his temple. Now, can we put it like this? In this church? Right? Right?
Yeah.
Remember, listen. We say, well, the church is referred to as what? A believer, right?
Yes,
and are gathering together, right? Our gathering together can only be called church because we individuals are church. Do you understand me? We are his church individual. So our gathering can only be called church because we are his church. The church coming together. That's church. Right? Now he said, in his temple, everyone says glory. And we've seen that we are his temple, right? Right? So tell you this prophecy is a prophecy concerning the believers, right? Okay. Now we are his temples, right? And we said, since we are his temple, we are his church, right? So we can say we can say in his church. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Flo, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
In his church, everyone says glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we can say in his church, everyone says glory. So let's look at that word, everyone. That word, everyone. It's not everybody. That what everyone is a post-resurrection fact. A post-resurrection fact. The everyone will be everyone who believes. Remember I said you must read in context, right? Everyone who believes. Hallelujah. So, we now say in the church, everyone who believes says glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Okay. Now, when you hear everyone says glory, it's not everyone should be shouting, we come to meeting. Maybe Pastor Wisdom will just shout, glory, 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 woo, glory, glory, glory. Oh, that's what he's talking about. You miss it if you study like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. We're getting there little by little. So, everyone who is born again says glory. Hallelujah. So when it says in the church or temple, it's the same thing with 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know how you have to conduct yourself in the church of God? Which is, right? In the house of God, which is the church of the living God. He said the pillar and the ground of truth. So when you get in the church, which is or in the temple, it refers to our coming together. Hallelujah. It refers to our coming together, knowing that God doesn't dwell in bricks, but in man, the man who believes. So, the coming together is not a building, the coming together is us. Hallelujah. So, we make this place a church. Moreover, tomorrow is school, we have New Year. You can't call it, this is our church. It's a school. Do you understand me? Aha. Did you get that? And I always use Ogoloko. When we are done, we come to smoke. they have messed the church. No. You are missing it if you are looking at the building. The church is us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now it says, everyone say. That word say means, is the word that implies to speak of. To speak of. Everyone say, everyone offer, meaning it's an uttering. Everyone say, to speak of.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Everyone say, glory. Everyone speak of glory. Hallelujah. So, in our coming together, everyone who believes, or in our coming together, everyone speak of his glory. Everyone offer his glory. Everyone demonstrate his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Quickly, let us do a surface touch on the word glory. We'll look at it next week. The word glory is in the Hebrew kabod. K-A-B-O-D. K-A-B-O-D. Kabod. Kabod. From the Greek, it's called doxa. Doxa. D-O-X-A, doza. You know, it implies, let me just say this. It implies, when we look at it, we'll break it down next week. It implies one's possession. It can be used for what one possesses. One's wealth. Kabon. We study from the scripture. We see that the glory of God is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 24 quickly. Let's see something. Luke 24. Verse 26. Let's talk about 25. He said, "All fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken." He said, "Off not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory." So, off not Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory. Remember during CRC, last CRC, those of you who were around and who have listened to the message, we said entering into his glory implies what? Indwelling. Thank you, the Spirit of God in man. How are they indwelling? Hallelujah. That is the indwelling. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? So look at it very well. So the glory of God is seen in man. So in our gathering, we demonstrate, we show, we speak of, we show forth the arisen Christ. Because that, listen, in Luke chapter 24, verse 26, he said, entering into his glory is a mark of his resurrection. Or let me put it like, it's a mark of his resurrection and ascension. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
His resurrection. Listen. His resurrection is a physical event that took place. Is ascension. Is spiritual. His ascension is witnessed by the church. We are in our hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His ascension is in our heart. An entry into his glory. That is his ascension, brothers and sisters. That is his ascension. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Indwelling. It is ascension. So when he said, have not, when he told Mary, and when he told Mary Magdalene, it's Magdalene now, in John, he told her, touch me no further, do not cling to me, say, do not touch me, for I have ascended to my Father and your Father. He's not talking about Jesus walking up to the skies and cleaning. You remember I said, if you have that notion like I used to have, you are wrong. Jesus climbed into heaven and carried dust. As I was splicking blood. You know, Papa, this is my blood. So Mary shouldn't touch me. That's my blood. Then, no. When he said, I'm not yet ascended. Oh, glory to God. He's referring to what? The indwelling. Hallelujah. To my Father and your Father. You know, the next thing that should drop in Mary's mind should be John chapter 14, verse 23. Glory to God. He speaks of the indwelling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in our gathering, we demonstrate, we show forth the arisen Christ in us. Glory to God.
Amen.
We show forth. We celebrate his resurrection in our gathering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We celebrate what he did that is forever. Yes. And what is that which he did that is forever? Yes. Salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The indwelling is forever. So when we come together, we'll celebrate.
Amen.
We'll celebrate the indwelling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, Pastor Shabu quoted Reverend Christopher Kilome and said something. He said, the church, said Reverend Christopher Kilome said this years back. He said, the church of Christ or the church of God is orchestrated by the Spirit. The church of God is orchestrated by the Spirit. So, meaning, when we come together, because it is orchestrated by the Spirit of God, we celebrate or we speak of that glory. Do you understand me? We'll speak of that glory. Did you get that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in our meetings, the primary meeting of the believer, or in our meetings, you know, we're having CRC soon. Hallelujah. Coming up soon. Just lesser than a month. On the 16th, 17th, 18th of August, that's CRC. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So in our meetings, we celebrate the Spirit's work. We celebrate the Spirit. So that is what the psalmist is talking about. Say, in this temple, everyone celebrates the Spirit's work. And what is the Spirit's work? Salvation, glory to God. The indwelling, glory to God. We speak of it, glory to God. So when we teach, we'll teach what the Spirit has done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at something. You know, the disciples were sent out to do similar things. And they got distracted. Let's look at Luke. Go back some few chapters to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 19. No, look at verse 17. They got the wrong thing triggering them. They got the wrong thing that triggered them. They did the work, yeah. But you know, they behaved like a regular Pentecostal guy would do. Thank God I'm not a Pentecostal. I say it everywhere, anytime. I'm not a Pentecostal. I've never been. And I will never be.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Except by
many fallible proofs.
But I stand strong.
What did I do?
I'm not with them. Except serious exegesis is done on me. Before you make me change my mind. Ah, let me not say nothing. I said stronger, but for now, I've not seen.
I know what I said to.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, for now. But I know you can't win it that way. It will be hard. Okay, look then. Look at verse 17. And the 70 returned. Jesus sends them in verses 2 to go and preach. Now they return. Now, he shows you something. You know, when he went to preach, Jesus sent them and told them to also do what? To heal the sick. Right? Right?
Yes.
And then preach. So these are, you know, it goes with evangelism. You heal the sick. You heal the sick. Now, healing the sick is not the main thing. We're going to see it. It's not the main thing. No. I remember one day, oh, glory to God. I saw a crippled man rising and walk. I even forgot to preach. I was just rejoicing. I went with him. That's wrong. I was wrong. Hallelujah. I was wrong. And another day, I saw someone who had a demon come on him and will use fire and matches to burn himself. And I was called one night around 10 p.m. Look at what is happening. They dragged him from his duty post to the hospital. And all the doctors can't hold him. All the nurses, they try, they can't. If he does that, everyone will scatter. They say he's already in getting there. He will carry lighter and be burning. But when I got there, you could see those. He has started burning himself. I don't know what they were trying to do. Maybe they were trying to chain him. I didn't actually see that. But I got there. I saw him. And they said, ah, Pastor Paco. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, no small child. And I said, in the name of Jesus, stop! You know, that loud voice. Stop in the name of Jesus. And I commanded the demon to leave. And the guy again said, I was now asking, what was he doing there? I would just astonish him. And then just carry my big Bible. And I left. Everybody was astonished.
Yeah.
I will not do that anytime anymore. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But you know, most time we just behave like the James Bond. Just do the James Bond walk and walk away.
I'm telling you, that period, the nurses in the hospital gave me free chance to come and preach. In time, out time. I was entering hospital around 2-1 anytime. Say, ah, my pastor.
Glory to God. Glory. So look at verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy. They returned with joy. Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know, they were rejoicing. Woo! Do you know what is happening? Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. was calm. Look at what he did. In verse 18, he said, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you power, authority to trample upon. He's not just giving them that. He's just reaffirming it to them. I gave you. Yeah, I gave you power to trample upon snakes and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. And not which have enemies hurt you. I gave it to you. So he was not moved. Hallelujah.
Yes,
I did. So it is normal for that to happen, right?
Yeah.
Glory to God. But he said, nevertheless, look at verse 2. He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Meaning, do not rejoice in miracles. After a while, I flow with the deceit, but after a while, I stop. Say, if you don't give your testimony, it will come back to you. That seed will come back to you times seven. That's wrong. Yeah, I followed that deceit for a while and I stopped when I discovered it was not true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is your showmanship, you know? Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. So you must always stand your ground. See, you must understand the fact that miracles are part of the gospel. Yes, it's part of what you preach. But those miracles are pointing to the miracle. What is the miracle? Salvation is the miracle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That the Spirit of God would dwell in man. That is the miracle. Hallelujah. That is the miracle. So every other miracle should point to the main miracle. So when you get to preach the gospel and you get someone healed and people come and gather, do like Peter would do. Do like the apostles would do. That is the time to preach Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can preach Christ to them all. That is the real miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Never get overtaken by those miracles without seeing the miracle. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we begin to round up. Then Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the Spirit has subject to you. But rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Now, here's what Jesus did. Jesus changes their perception from temporal to permanent. He said, do not rejoice in miracles, but rejoice in salvation. Did you see that? But rejoice in salvation. Remember we say, it is the Spirit's work, right? Right? We celebrate the Spirit's work. So Jesus changes their thinking and said, you rejoice concerning salvation. Because that is what makes heaven rejoice. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see that heaven rejoice over a sinner who repents. There's joy in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It tells you something. That is the character of our kingdom. We rejoice over eternal things. And eternal things here is salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? We rejoice over salvation. Over the Spirit's work. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And as Jesus was speaking, as Jesus was teaching them, the Bible says in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. In that hour, as he was telling them, woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus rejoiced. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What did he rejoice for? The Spirit work. Salvation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible said Jesus spoke about Abraham and said, and he saw my days. And he did what? He rejoiced. Why did Abraham rejoice? Abraham to rejoice for salvation. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice for salvation. He's, when he stands with their brethren, some brethren rejoice. And you see some brethren, they are behaving like ancient of this. Even the ancient of days, the one who is not living there by time, he rejoiced. He shows you the character of God. Remember, we said Jesus explains God. Hallelujah. He tells us God's character. But in that instant, that word rejoice is the word agalo. Hallelujah. From the word agalis. The root word. Listen, the root word is, you know, it's used for how a child. You know when a child tries to walk, the way he walks and is limping and doing wants to fall. That's what it means. He rejoices. That word is agalo. Hallelujah. Agalo. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Agalo. As it you want to fall, but hey, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Look at John. Look at John quickly. Look at John. No, sorry. In Luke 24. You know, after he was done teaching them, He was done teaching them. Verse 50. I'm going to start from verse 50. Remember, before now, these guys were afraid before the 40 days. They were hiding themselves. They were afraid. Now Jesus began to teach them. Oh, glory to God. He taught them diabolical. He taught them through the scriptures. Glory to God. He taught them through the scriptures. And look at verse 15. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands. You remember, within that 40 days, they saw them back. What was happening? Jesus is in us. He's in us. He's back alive. You know, he's back alive. He's in us. Now, something's about to happen. Verse 50. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And as it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. And then where is your Jesus? He said, he's in the house. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
With great joy, he lives in the
house.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everyone says glory. With great joy. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm asking them, where is your Jesus? He's in us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Even the disciples that were afraid, they began to rejoice. Everyone says glory. We celebrate.
Yes.
We celebrate salvation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Everyone says glory. Glory.
Glory.
Wild joy. Wild joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo. Shakata balabaya. Great joy.
Great joy. You know.
Go ahead, God.
Hallelujah.
We look at this much more as we get prepared for CRC. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This is our believer's conduct too. You don't know? Yes. This is believer's conduct.
We are
behaving
ourselves.
That will be a round up, man. Glory to God. We'll look at this much more next week.
Will you marry much more next week?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This thing looks like baby stint. Your Lord, who you call your God. Look at verse 21. Your Lord, who you call your God. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He rejoiced in the Spirit. Like Pastor Wisdom rightly said, that is we behaving ourselves. And listen, take note of the next word. And said, you know, there's always something to say. You understand this? There's always something to say. Hallelujah. And he said, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's always something to say. In Zephaniah, he says, he shall rejoice over us. Who? God will rejoice over us. It is his nature, and it is our nature. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when you hear, so we're going to look at this much more next week also. When you hear, rejoice. When you hear, rejoice. In John, the Bible says they came back with great joy. Great, wild joy. Wild joy. For some, it might be, it will be running. Somebody should show us that. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the heaven, we're calling when the Spirit gets to moving. Fellowship, we're calling when the Spirit gets to moving. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The word Agadu. You are running in circles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because, you know, somebody should do that for me. Let's see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a candle. Glory to God. You know, you can't have great joy without laughter.